you little creeps and freaks. I hated that. I hate myself.
I don't even know.
Hey, little creeps and freaks.
Creepies and freakies. Wow, I'm awkward.
Creepies and freakies.
Creepers and freakers.
Oh, boy.
We're back.
Welcome back to the In the Nick of Crime podcast. We're usually a weekly true crime podcast, but we like to do some spooky, spooky, spooky shit sometimes.
And when I'm not deathly ill, I'm the absolute comedian of this group.
Yeah, so why we had to, again, miss 2 weeks of recording is because Courtney went and got herself sick again. So, it's all her fault.
You know what? I could have recorded if I didn't have the most absolute horrendous voice that came from that.
What did I tell you that you sounded like? There's like a couple things. Like, you sound like a boy going through puberty.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. There was
another one. I don't remember what it was, though.
I think at one point I told you you sound like you smoke 100 packs a day,
too. Yep, you did
there's
say
something
that.
Else, though.
There's another funny one, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't either.
And then I started laughing, and you were like, wow, you really sound like Muttley now. Because, like, yeah. It was horrendous. I have been that sick before, but, like, chest and throat-wise, oh.
I think you, like, never fully got over what it was before, and then it just, like, you got sick on top of what you already had, and it just really settled into your chest.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. Yeah. It was a really ugly 2 weeks for me.
But anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks.
But that's why we were gone again.
Sorry, guys. I'll try not to get sick again. Fuck.
If you get sick again, I'm just gonna punch you, so.
Ah! Don't do that! We'll have to learn how to record from our houses instead.
Yeah, exactly. Really, like, I don't have a problem doing that. I just don't have the patience to mess with it. But it's like, if we ever had to, we had to. You
right.
know, it is what it is. So.
I just can't afford to get you sick. That's the whole key.
Well, yeah, that too. I would appreciate that. And yeah. I appreciate you for your thoughtfulness.
Yeah, thanks. I try.
But anyway, I feel like there was something that I had to talk about. I don't remember. So, whatever.
Mm.
Nothing else to cover off the top then.
Sweet. Look at us getting into it.
Yep. So, it's a Courtney-sode.
Yep.
So I'm going to bring some fuckery.
Yep.
To the table. There's like a lot of things that I wanted to cover. I had like 4 things. One of them I might say for our TikTok actually. But Courtney also has an update. Do you want me to do it or would you like to update? I feel like you should.
I can. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I do have an update.
So it's a non-fuckery.
Non-fuckery update. Yeah, wow. That's a lot of fuckeries. so my family case is finally done.
So if you want to do a quick recap for anyone that's a new listener.
I have a great niece who unfortunately passed away at the age of 4 due to a fentanyl overdose. And my niece has been, it's been a very long road.
It was her fault.
Yeah, it was her fault. It was her fault. She's definitely at fault for Aislinn's death, and this is kind of weird, but we're almost at a year. Aislinn died July 21st, I believe.
Holy hell.
Of last year.
I can't believe that.
It's been wild. Right. But there's been a lot of up and downs in this case. There's been a lot of, like, my niece actually got out on bail for a while, and then she was supposed to have her, like, sentencing hearing, and they brought the plea bargain forward, and basically the judge threw out the plea bargain and was like, nope. I'm gonna sentence her come July, what, 4th? 3rd.
3rd.
July 3rd. Sunday. And, so they ended up sentencing her. She got 27 and a half years with time served included, so that puts her at 27 years, because she's already served 6 months.
Yep.
And that's the end of it.
Hell yeah.
So she will be in jail at least until she's 42. That's about 18 years because I'm calculating with good behavior.
Right.
We all know they get off early.
Did they say, though, that that was for sure what she would get with good behavior?
No, that's what her attorney came out saying opinion.
Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
If it was like a prosecution or the judge saying it. Sure.
Right. Right. I don't know. But, yeah. Like, at least if it's 18, that's still, she'll be 42. So,
yeah.
By that point, hopefully she won't be able to have kids anymore. And we don't have to worry about another unnecessary death in our family.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
That's where we're at. So we're done. Good. Finally.
Yeah.
Ace can rest in peace. We can all be done.
Yep. I'm so happy for your family that you can just finally move on from this. I know you.
Yeah.
Feel like you wish she would have gotten more time, which me too. I really wish she would have fucking got life in prison. But yeah. It's definitely better because I know, like, worst case scenario, you're thinking, like, a few years. So right.
Or even way, months at this point.
Way better than that.
Yeah. Way better. I'm okay with it. I'm, you know, I've come to terms with it, and I think most of my family has too. Okay. And we're just, most of us are wiping our hands and walking away.
So. Yeah. Because at this point, you know, it is what it is, and justice is being served in some sense. You know, it's like, I feel like in any case, you can't fully, you know, make a determination on how you would feel about it till you go through it. And it's like, what would be enough? You know, it's like, there's nothing
to nothing's going to bring her back.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that I have to keep reminding people of is like, yes, we're angry. Yes, we're mad. Yes, we're hurt. But just because you're angry, mad, and hurt doesn't mean that Ace is going to come back. Giving her life isn't going to make Ace come back. Like, it is what it is at this point. Yeah. And as long as, in my opinion, as long as she can't have kids and have this happen again, that's what I'm happy with.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So.
Thank goodness. I'm so glad that your family can finally move on.
Rest.
Yeah, and sweet Ace can just rest in peace.
I think she is.
Anyway, I'm very happy for your family.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm happy too. I'm rested, and I think they will be too.
Good.
Yep.
Glad to hear it. So glad to hear it.
Thank you.
Okay, so, I have two other fuckeries. I couldn't decide between the two. I have to talk about them both.
Okay.
So this one, by the time this comes out, this has already been out for a minute, but I still wanted to talk about it because this is about a case that has been covered before. Let me actually pull up which episode it was.
Oh, it's one of our cases?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Say less. I'm over here like, what case is it?
It's one that we've talked about updates already before, too, and there may be another.
Oh!
Okay, so in episode 7, court covered the disappearance of Kristen Smart.
Ah, yes.
So there was a new article that came out that said the remains of Kristen may actually be in the backyard of Paul's mom's house.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either, and I honestly don't know how it would have been this long to come across that. But it says an engineer who encountered, and this is from, it's meaww.com, truly a site I hadn't heard of, but anyway, it says, in a remarkable development in the Kristen Smart case, an engineer who encountered the missing Cal Poly student shortly before she went missing has embarked on a mission to locate her body. So they're using soil examination technology.
Oh.
Not even sonar. It's like
using this is new.
Mm-hmm. The gentleman's name is Timothy Nelligan. He personally believes that Paul Forrest's mom's backyard may have clues to solving the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, he's diving into it and trying to do like soil. It's like soil vapor sampling is what it's called.
It's but actually pretty cool technology.
Yeah, I've heard about it a little bit, but not much. But he's an environmental engineer, and he actually had met Kristen at Cal Poly, like, shortly before she went missing. But he has teamed up with a scientist and a former FBI research chemist who's now a professor. So they're trying to help the family.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's the family that they're working with. So the method has reportedly, I want to stress the reportedly, detected the presence of human remains buried in the backyard of Susan's home. Multiple searches conducted earlier at Flores's and his parents' properties yielded nothing. So this is giving different results compared to what was found before. I personally don't believe that she's still there. However, they could find proof that she was at one point.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it says that the sampling identifies volatile organic compounds that are associated with human decomposition. So it says that Nelligan told the LA Times that the analysis indicated the presence of a body in the ground during previous examinations. The technology is considered experimental at this point. However, so was DNA at some point. So
everything's been experimental from the start.
That's the whole point of science. You have to prove a theory. You have to prove your hypothesis. So that's the whole point of it. So
check and balance.
Yeah. So we'll see. Honestly. Oof.
Honestly, like, I'm over here hoping to God she's still there because I would love her parents to have a little bit of closure with getting her remains back.
Just find her or know where she was before they pass away. Honestly.
It would be nice.
But it says that
That wasn't even me.
No, that was me. It says that in their most recent analysis of Susan's property, which is Paul's mom, it says the data revealed a plume map that displayed a section of Papich's backyard bordering Flores's property, glowing in a rich reddish-orange hue surrounded by green, with blue extending to the farthest reaches of the multicolored pattern. So that's just pretty much their color analysis indicating that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Marcia Papich is Susan's neighbor that shares their yards back up to each other. So yeah, we shall see what happens with that one. My other one that I want to cover, just because this is like a good one, I feel like I have to talk about it. So there was a boy named Rudy Farias who went missing in 2015, and he was found!
Mm-hmm. I actually saw this
two or three days ago.
8 years
later.
Yeah.
Holy shit, yeah, I found it a while ago, too.
He's in a hospital, though, isn't he?
Yeah, like, his family's not letting, like, much be presented about it, understandably. Like, they want to know what the fuck happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's in a hospital. I think he's just being observed right now. But that's absolutely amazing. Like, if they ever do, I understand if they don't want to, but if they ever do go public with what happened, I would just...
I hope it was nothing bad. I hope, like, he's just, you know, been living a really good life.
Right.
Like, not injured or hurt or anything like that. Like,
exactly.
But it makes me worry with him being in a hospital right away after he's been found. I'm kind of like, oof.
Right.
Why?
But he was 17 years old. So, he may have gone on his own volition, but he was walking his two dogs, and his two dogs were found later. So, that's the reason why I think it may have been something
different.
Yeah.
More.
Maybe not so great. But yeah, he was, it says that I didn't see that part. They must have updated this article from when I first pulled it, because they said that a Good Samaritan had found him unresponsive outside of a Houston church.
Whoa.
Oh, this is updated. Holy cow. This got updated yesterday. Okay. That's why this is all new. Holy cow. I'm glad I decided to keep with this. So it says that family members were warned that he may have been abducted and sold for human trafficking. It says, let me find anything that's new. It says in 2018, so he, again, disappeared in 2015. In 2018, police got a call saying that Rudy was sleeping behind a family member's home, but when police got there, he wasn't there. So I don't know if that turned out to be true or someone just thought it was him. But it says on June 29th, so this past June 29th, a person spotted Rudy lying on the ground outside of a church in Southeast Houston and called 911. And they said there's a person on the steps. They said there's a person there trying to wake up. So to me, it seems like he was either homeless and was just kind of bouncing around from place to place and just left of his own volition, or something happened. But either way, he's okay, and it's incredible. Like, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
Those cases are insane. It's like that one that we talked about of that woman that's been down in, like, was it Brazil for, like, the last 30 years?
Oh,
her husband's
gosh,
been looking for her, but she's been in, like, a home for people with Alzheimer's and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, she had lost her memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Holy moly.
Wild.
So we got some good stuff.
Heck
like,
yeah.
Good stuff.
A lot of updates, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that's happening. But yeah, keep an eye out for TikTok, because they released the affidavit for the piece of shit that's being charged in the Delphi murders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to go about on there. I need to read through it.
I can't believe he actually admitted
it. Discovery. Yeah, he like
just
admitted it.
All of a sudden was like, yeah, I did it.
Well, no, he admitted it to his wife over the phone, so they got phone records. Yeah. I don't think he's admitted it to investigators.
So. Oh, really? I read it as he admitted to investigators, but
yeah,
regardless,
no, as far
you're
as
an idiot.
I haven't read the whole thing yet, but that's what I saw when I pulled up the thing originally. So,
woof.
Yeah, but that's what I wanted to talk about for the weekly updates / fuckery.
Wow, we had a lot. They were good, though.
Yeah. So, Corinne, what do you have?
Ah, yes.
Yes.
So, kind of funny little fact for you before I do this. So, my friend Emmy, who is a big fan of our podcast, loves us, listens to us, talks
Hi,
about
Emmy.
Us. Hi, Emmy. she sent me a TikTok the other day, and it was like 26, like, really weird unsolved or like solved but oddly solved cases.
Cool.
And I watched all of them. Oh, TikTok
cases in a row.
Dude. Well, and it was weird because one of them was the oh my god, I keep wanting to call it the Bermuda Triangle. What's the triangle you did?
Oh, the Bennington
Thank
Triangle.
Thank you. Yeah. The Bennington Triangle mm-hmm. was one of them. And cool. then this case was one of them, but I didn't get it for her TikTok. I was already doing it, and then it was on the TikTok. And so I was like, oh, some of these are on my list. Like, I didn't tell her that I was doing it. So anyway, this was one of the cases, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of these that I have on my list. Like, I didn't tell her that I was doing right. this one, so it was just wild how Surprise. That works. And I was like, oh, okay, well. There's one on there that I'm doing. That's There's crazy. Some. I'll have to send it to you because it's kind of yeah. mind blowing. Like a few of them, I was like, "Oh, that is interesting." That's like, crazy. I don't think I know half of these cases.
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So definitely That's check awesome. It out when I send it.
Cool.
But I'm going to do the murder of Debbie Wolf.
Okay.
Do you know?
It sounds familiar.
Okay. I didn't know this one until Clint I started playing with it.
All the time, he's like, "I'm gonna sift around, and then mm-hmm. we'll see if I find a file."
It's a very short case mm-hmm. with horrendous police work, and
that sounds
it's what? Technically solved. I disagree. Mm. And
the ones that just get
oh, me. This one I'm gonna get you fired up on this one. And I tried to look up a bunch of stuff about her previous, like, before she died, mm-hmm. but, like, it's kind of hard because this case is from the 80s, so
oh, okay.
it was kind of hard finding a whole lot about her, but I have a tiny little bit.
Cool.
So her name is actually Deborah Ann Wolf. She goes by Debbie. That's her nickname.
Okay.
She was 28 years old. She was a nurse, and she lived in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which is, like, roughly 2 hours west of Charlotte.
Okay.
And... Growing up, she said that she wanted to repay the kindness that she had received in the world,
mm-hmm.
and her way of doing that was becoming a nurse.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah,
I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah.
She worked at the Veterans Medical Center,
mm-hmm.
and she's very well liked. People said that she had a lot of friends, she had a lot of family. She was described as a dedicated nurse, a lovely young woman, and an all-around happy person by Larry Cheek. He was a columnist for the Fayetteville Times, and he wrote that on October 26th of 1990 in a newspaper column.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Debbie had only been a nurse for about 2 years.
Okay.
At the time of her death.
Okay.
And she was described as a very dedicated person to her work and her patients, and she was considered a valuable asset to the Veterans Medical Center.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Something that she did is she worked with a lot of vets who were struggling with, you know, PTSD or mm-hmm. medical conditions or whatever, and she was a lot of the time she would really just be a kind of like a sounding board for them.
Right.
And they did say like a lot of them got like emotionally connected to her, or mm-hmm. like there supposedly is one that got like romantically connected to her, mm-hmm. and the police did interview him and later let him go. Like, he didn't have anything that they could tell to do with it, but okay. there's a little thing about him and later on in this.
I think, sorry, I'm trying to look up like where I had heard this. So Maurice Godwin from Up and Vanish, the guy that will, like, pay Lindsay will interview, has talked about her before. But I feel like I saw this on a show.
It's on Unsolved Murders.
Okay, that may be where I...
Yeah, there. It actually... I used it as one of my sources. That yeah, there is a full episode.
It's, like, on Maurice Godwin's website, too. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good.
I just, like, I know this song.
You're like, I've heard it somewhere.
Yeah.
So, on Christmas Day of 1985, I don't know how I keep picking Christmas Day stories, right. but I seem to do that quite often. Debbie Wolf finished her shift at the Veterans Medical Center. It would be the last time that any of her colleagues had seen her alive. Okay. The next morning, she actually failed to show up to work. This is where things started clicking for a lot of people, because right. Debbie was not the type of person to not go to work.
Yeah.
And not call and say why she wasn't coming in.
Right.
And she wasn't answering her phone.
Jeez.
Now, remember, this is the 80s, so we have these things called landlines.
Right.
At the time, guys.
For you Gen Z kids.
And this really worried her parents from the simple fact of the matter that, like, she lived in the cabin kind of out in BFE by herself with her dogs. Okay. Like,
yeah,
that would terrify any parent that you can't get a hold of them, but especially when you only have landlines. Right. Like,
and she lives by herself.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So her mom and then a family friend by the name of Kevin Gordon actually ended up rushing over to where she lived in her cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie would always keep things very tidy. She took very good care of her dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's these things that you know about her.
Right.
And so her mom's name is Jenny, by the way. I'll talk about her in first person. But Jenny and Kevin arrived at the cabin and immediately knew, like, something was wrong and things were out of place because there were beer cans all over the yard. The dogs hadn't been fed. And her nursing uniform was laying on the floor in the kitchen. She had, like, walked through the kitchen, so, like, just taken it off and thrown it.
Wrong.
Yeah, super weird. Other personal items were scattered all over the floor, and they were trying to find her purse, but it wasn't in its normal place. And so Kevin actually went into her bedroom and found it shoved underneath her bed.
That's so weird.
Weird place for her
purse. Was her, like, ID and everything in there?
Everything was in there, but it was just weird that it was shoved under her bed. Like, I don't know any woman that shoves a purse under their bed. Like,
which that, to me, would say, like, someone rifled through it and was looking for money or something.
Something.
Right.
That's so bizarre. It's super weird. So then they were looking for more clues as to, like, where Debbie was, because she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. They couldn't find her.
Right.
And so her mom had the idea to check her answering machine, which, again, guys, this is the 80s. We had these things called answering machines and not voicemail.
Most of our listeners are of age to know what landlines and you know, answering machines are.
I would like to still point it out because I feel like I only say that because I've seen so many videos of Gen Z's being
they're fetuses.
They're so funny. They're like, you know what? We should have, like, a cell phone at your house, like, that stays in your house. And everyone's
never
like,
that's... the days of recording your answering sound, like, waiting till
with
just
your,
the right...
With your radio?
Just so the right song came on the radio. And you, like, fade it out, like, turn your volume down, like,
yep.
Oh, hey, guys, I'm not here. Catch me on the flippity flip.
Oh, my God, you just brought
like, if anyone goes through your entire freaking answering thing.
So like, many memories. Stupid shit.
I would time that shit so it was, like, as long as it could possibly be. Like, you got enough of the song because my sister and I had our own phone. And we had one of, like, the clear phones that you could see all the innards in it.
Uh-huh.
And
oops.
My court. And yeah, I would just like record a new thing all the time.
Oh, I was really notorious for doing the ones where you would answer. I'd be like, hello? Oh, hey, what's up? Hi, you reached Courtney's cell phone. Like, just like messing
gotcha.
With me. My mom used to get so pissed at that. She was like, if you don't change that damn thing, I'm going to lose it.
I did that for a while, too. I fooled a lot of people with that one.
I had to change it eventually because it was my senior year, and that's when I was getting calls from colleges and, like, recruiting calls and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I need to change that.
Right.
Stupid.
Tangent.
Okay. So they went to her answering machine, and they heard a very interesting message.
Okay.
The person's voice they didn't recognize, and, right? And they got really concerned because the message had been left earlier that day. The voice was a man calling from the Veterans Hospital to see how Debbie was doing. And he said that in the message, like, he indicated that Debbie had been missing from work for days.
The fuck?
Which struck Jenny really odd because she knew it wasn't true. She knew her daughter had just come from work the day before.
Exactly.
A lot of her coworkers had come back saying, like, she was definitely here. Like, we saw her leave on Christmas Day. Like,
yeah.
That's really odd.
Also, pardon the background noise. It just decided to start pouring rain out.
Yeah.
So.
Colorado's getting a lot of rain. Love it.
I'm not mad at it.
Me either. I'm
here for it. Wildfires.
And like I said, at the time, like, she'd really only been missing for a few hours, really, at this point. Come to find out, the man who left that message is the one I was telling you about that had that romantic interest in her. And that's when police pulled him in, questioned him. But they...
I'm assuming it was one-sided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very one-sided. Yeah. Yep. So, Jenny and Kevin started to expand their search for Debbie. They went outside of the cabin, and she has, like, a pond kind of near the cabin, and they were looking around that. They couldn't find anything.
Right.
But it really caused them to be even more concerned, so they ended up calling the Cumberland County Sheriff's Department, and basically saying, like, she's missing, something's not right.
Okay.
Get out here and check it out.
Right.
Which, surprisingly, they did it quick. So they came out really fast, which surprised me, because it's not even 48 hours. But, right. I mean, good. I'm here for it.
Small town, they probably didn't.
Right, I'm not complaining about it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that... Oh, shit, sorry, I smacked my mic.
How dare you?
My bad.
How fucking dare you?
You did it earlier. Shut up.
I hit my dingle ball.
My dingle ball?
That's what it is.
No! This town... You'll have to look up this town, because this town is notorious for weird-ass murders. I'm not lying.
It's a rose.
Because it's Fort Bragg's is located here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's actually a murder that happened, like, 13 years before her, I believe, where a soldier killed his wife and two daughters. And then there was actually a murder, I want to say, like, 2 or 3 months before her, where a mom and two daughters were found murdered in their home.
Jeez.
It's like a murder town.
Yeah,
it's,
I've heard a lot about, like, Fort Bragg anyway.
Yeah, it's, jeez. Yeah, it's a lot. Yikes. So, I'm assuming that's probably part of the reason why they were so quick, too.
They're probably like, well,
yeah,
history has not been kind to us.
No, we gotta check this out. So, Captain Jack Watts of the Cumberland... Shut up. I knew it. I knew you were going to laugh at that.
Jackson.
Captain Jack. But why is the rum gone?
You cannot do that and think that I wasn't going to.
I knew you were. That's why I had to leave Captain it in there. Jackson. And I didn't just call him Captain Watts. His name is Captain Jack Watts.
You did it on purpose.
You right. He was part of this group at the county sheriff's office, and he's actually the one that responded to the call. And after arriving, he was under the assumption that Jenny and Kevin, so mom and friend, had already searched the pond, so he never officially requested for them to have divers come in.
Okay. Yikes.
Problem number one.
Right.
However, they did bring bloodhounds in.
Captain Jack was only worried about the rum.
Right. Truthfully. They had them search the cabin, but they didn't find anything.
The bloodhounds did?
Yeah, the bloodhounds picked up nothing.
Sheesh.
So, since her mom was really not satisfied with what these investigators had done and their response, she decided to hire her own dive team.
Hell yeah.
And
hell yeah.
Yeah, she's a badass mom.
They're like, oh yeah, two civilians already searched the pond, that's fine.
I just don't understand where that thought process even came in.
Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
Like, why would you just assume that civilians were searching a pond?
Right.
Stupid.
Right. And even if they, like, looked around it or something, they don't have the equipment that y'all do to actually dive.
Stupid. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I was like, okay, strike one.
Right.
So, they actually jump in the water. It's January 1st of 1986 at this point. It's some cold-ass water.
Yeah.
Kevin Gorton, which is her friend, and actually his friend, Gordon Childress, thank you. Childress, same thing. Not really. It just looks like child and then rest.
Right. Maybe it is. Maybe his is pronounced that way.
It could be. I don't know. They entered the pond searching for Debbie, and both men were familiar with rescue work. They had done this quite often.
Good, yeah.
There's actually a group that has a TikTok that does this, and they're the ones who found those teenagers that I reported on for one of our fuckeries a long time ago.
Yep.
It's a pretty common thing.
Yeah.
So, they started looking for any evidence, and soon they saw it right away. They saw that there were actually two sets of footprints impressed into the mud in the dirt. You have to remember, this is a pond. It's not moving water. There's no wakes. Like,
well,
you
no,
step
so
in
that
water.
Says that, like, yeah, either she stepped in it or was, like, put in it.
Mm-hmm. So, if you step in it, you won't leave a mark.
Right. Right.
And it's gonna stay there. So, they actually started looking further, and they started seeing drag marks, and they were like, that's weird.
I'm thinking like a cement block or something.
Oh, it's even better. Oh, 2 minutes later, after entering the water, they came across her body.
Oh, gosh.
Debbie's body was actually found 30 feet from the bank in about 5.5 feet of water. Not terribly deep, may I add.
So that, and I'm so sorry, if this is going to spoil something, let me know, and I'll cut it out. But that, to me, says the person had trouble moving her.
Oh, they did. And I'll tell you exactly
I know that it wasn't assumed to be a murder. I'm assuming that it wasn't presumed as murder.
No, but I'll tell you exactly why they struggled. Here's why. Because the body was inside of what looked like to be a burn barrel. And it was a rusty 55-gallon type drum with holes in it. Yeah. That's what was being drugged.
The footprints were not hers.
No.
What the fuck?
Definitely not.
So she was found in the barrel, or she had come out of the barrel?
She was found in the barrel.
What the fuck?
Oh, it gets... Dude, wait till you hear this shit. So soon after they discover the body, the sheriff's department was obviously dispatched back out to the scene.
Yeah.
And the body was later obviously identified as Debbie Wolf. Mm-hmm. The day after the divers reported their discovery to the sheriff's department, the water in the pond was lowered to recover her body, which I found interesting.
They identified her before recovering her?
Mm-hmm.
Decomposition, man. Like, it's already accelerated. I mean, yes, being cold helps, but still being in the water.
Yeah. They did it ahead. They do have an autopsy done to where they did officially determine it after she was pulled out of the water. But, like, this is why I'm saying this case is so weird. Like,
why did they have to drain some of the water to get her out? It makes no sense.
Here's my thing is, well, I'll explain that in a minute. So, the thing is that when they found her body...
Mm-hmm.
There was no barrel, according to them. That was
my question, though. Like, you said she was found in the barrel.
Yes, but according to the police, they said they found no barrel. And the divers were like, hang on a second. No, we definitely found her in a barrel. Like, where the fuck did this barrel go?
And by the divers, do you mean her friend and the volunteer person or the private people?
They are the private people.
Okay. Well, I know you said she hired someone else.
They are the ones she hired.
The friend was just helping... Oh, okay, I see.
So the friend was a rescuer.
I see.
Yeah.
I thought you meant, like, he had just helped because he was experienced. Okay.
Nope. That's what they did. Okay. So like, they're legit divers. It's not like they're, you know, half-assing what they do.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but if you dive and find a body in a barrel, why would you say that you found a body in a barrel if there wasn't a barrel? Like, they have nothing to hide. They have nothing to gain. Like,
The fuck?
Weird. I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. So there's strike number two, in case anyone's wondering. So Debbie's autopsy was performed by Dr. William Oliver on January 2nd of 1986.
Okay.
Dr. Oliver worked for the North Carolina Medical Examiner's Office, and the manner of death was reported as undetermined. Strike number three. The medical examiner could not determine if the drowning was an accident or a homicide.
And see, that was exactly my thing, because I remember... hearing that there was speculation that it was just she drowned, just in general. Like, if there's a fucking barrel,
right?
She's like, let me go hop on in a barrel and roll myself. Sorry, that was very disrespectful, but like, literally, that's how ridiculous that.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds stupid,
right?
Like
that sounds absolutely asinine.
And it gets even worse because there's a ton of red flags that I'm about to talk about. One of them is the fact that she had multiple abrasions on several of her fingers, which. In my mind, it's defensive wounds. Like, that, you don't...
Or trying to get out of the barrel.
Could be, too, but she was face down. So she was head down in the barrel.
Were her abrasions, like, on tops of her fingers or under her fingers?
On tops.
That would tell me, like, trying to punch.
That's what I'm saying. That or she's blocking. One or the other.
Yeah.
So, defensive wounds regardless or trying to get out of the barrel.
Right.
Typical drowning situations, the deceased's eyes and mouths are generally open and their hands are in like a clawed position, like they're, because you're trying to claw your way out of suffocating.
Right.
Because you're fighting for your life at that point. However, Debbie's eyes and mouth were closed and her body appeared as if she was in a relaxed state.
So it seems like she's already deceased when she was put in there.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
And that would, unfortunately, make sense why the cause of death would be undetermined, because you can tell if someone was still alive when they went into the water.
Well, and there's an interesting fact about that, too, that I'm going to bring up here. So, also, in typical drowning cases, the deceased has white froth or foam-like substances in their airways.
Right.
In their mouth, their nostril, it's everywhere. But there was no froth, no foam. None of that was found in any of her airways, her mouth, anything.
Right.
I just lost my place. Okay, the presence of foam or froth is a vital phenomenon and often indicates that the victim was alive while they were being submerged.
Right.
Kind of tells you that Debbie wasn't probably alive when she was submerged.
Right.
It's unclear, though, if she was unconscious prior to entering the pond, because the autopsy did find half a teaspoon of water in her upper bronchial. It's very odd.
Right. I feel like the only way that would happen is she was, like, pretty much, like, only barely alive when she went into the water.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, within seconds, she was done.
Right.
I don't know. It's a very odd situation. Right. This is where, like, I'm questioning what's happening, because I'm like, how are you unconscious to the point where you still get a teaspoon in your airways, but yet you...
But then how did she die?
They don't know. It's still undetermined.
Fuck.
Yep. Oy. Here's where it gets even worse. At this point, investigators are speculating, and they determined that Debbie had slipped on ice and fallen into the frigid water.
Actual fuck up. Oh, she fell in a barrel and then she fell in the water. Are you fucking kidding me?
And it's 5.5 feet. She's a swimmer. Like, her mom even said, like, how the hell does she not get out of that? Like, if she had fallen in the water, she would have gotten up immediately and walked out.
Try to drown in that level of water.
And not only that, if she had slipped and fell, she would have been in, like, a foot of water maybe, or two, because it's like a slanted bank to the deepest point. So she wouldn't have fallen at the deepest point. It's 30 feet away from the shore. You don't slip on ice and fall 30 feet.
Right. Unless it, like, carried you out. But like you said, it's a pond. There's not,
well,
like,
and the ice
current
on the pond was super thin. Like,
oh, I meant to ask that earlier, if it was covered in ice. So yeah.
It was super thin ice. Like, you can't even walk on that ice. It'll break the second you fall.
Right. But I mean, like, if she had been in the water and she got carried out to the deepest point of it.
Nah. Dude. It's the dumbest thing ever. So yeah, they said she slipped and fell while she was playing with her dogs. Their theory was...
Why were her dogs not out there?
Yeah, they still don't have an answer to that.
Bro, at least fucking get a better answer. Seriously.
Well, they said that their theory is that she'd become disoriented and drowned from what's called immerse syndrome. So if you don't know what that is, immerse syndrome is also called flush drowning. It occurs in the water and sometimes causes hypertension, interruption of breathing ability, and arrhythmia or loss of coordination.
So then what? She hit her head, went and let her dogs back in the house, and then went back outside? Is that what you're telling me, officers?
I think what they're saying is she hit the water and then it startled her body.
Do her dogs
so much.
Have opposable thumbs to get themselves
That's
back
what
into
I'm
the
saying.
House?
That's what I'm saying.
Dogs don't have thumbs, kids. Was
and
her
it's
door
the middle of winter.
When they came in?
I couldn't find anything on that. I'm going to assume that was probably her mom's first indicator that something was wrong.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, if she had a doggy door or something, then yeah, the dogs definitely could have gotten back.
Didn't see anything about a doggy door.
Right. So then, unless, the only other thing I can think of is, like, if she had a screen door, like, I know dogs can open screen doors with their noses sometimes, or if the door wasn't latched or something, maybe they got their way back in there, but that's far-fetched.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about the door being, like, open. Right. Unlocked would be more advantageous, but I didn't hear anything about a door being opened.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. So, the autopsy findings did not find any symptoms related to immerse syndrome. So there's another problem.
Room.
Plus, Debbie's feet and legs were covered. So, interesting fact about immerse syndrome is you tend to get it if your feet or hands are exposed to the cold water.
Okay.
It's very unlikely if they're covered to have it.
Right.
Plus, she was wearing a thick jacket and, like, all this. And I'll get into the clothing here in a minute.
Yeah,
but
I was
going
to say. So, like, she was dressed like she was intending to be outside.
It sort of. Okay. I'll explain that in a minute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So sheriff detectives also denied that that Debbie's body had been found in a barrel. Rather, they proposed a theory about the barrel, which is so funny because, like, I couldn't even find the theory.
What were the drag marks, you Chuckies?
I couldn't even find the theory that they were talking about. Like, I looked at a bunch of, you know, interviews and stuff with them, and, like, zero theory.
The hell?
Interesting part is that Debbie's mom started to remember something about this barrel, and it was a burn barrel that she used to use for keeping firewood.
Okay.
And so she went and checked the spot where the barrel normally sits, and it wasn't there, but you could still see the imprint of it in the grass, which she was like, okay, like, there's...
That's the barrel.
Hello, guys, like, wake up. So... And the police actually did not collect the barrel the day that they responded to the scene. And when Debbie's family returned to the cabin the next day, the barrel was completely gone. Not in the water, not outside the water, not in the grass, like, not on her property. Like, it was not to be found.
And you said this is after they recovered her body? The fuck?
Yeah. Mia thinks somebody's covering something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, did one of the cops have something to do with it?
I don't know.
Do they know who did? Like, what the fuck is the point?
Yeah.
Of doing that? Unless they're just trying to make it look like their town isn't as bad as it is.
I hit her mom, and I have to agree with her. I talk about it a little later, but she's under the impression that they just didn't want to deal with it. And they didn't want to deal with the paperwork because they had already had that case like 2 months ago. And so she thinks they just tried to sweep it under the rug and just be done with it. And I have to agree with her.
Don't be cops if you don't want to do the work.
Facts.
It's a tough job. I am not saying that I could go and do it. It is a hard job. Mentally taxing. But don't do it if you don't want to do the work.
Yep. So, like I said, the police denied that there was ever a barrel. However, Cumberland County Sheriff's Deputy Don Smith admitted that he saw the barrel.
See, this is why, like, if it was in a day and age where there's technology, because now, like, they take cameras down with them when they do these dives, they could have had it on film.
It just sucks. Worst time and place.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So, at this point, Debbie's family feels like Debbie's death is just not adding up. And the police were so firm on the fact that it was an accident.
Right.
Sorry.
How dare you.
Rude. Her mom had a lot of suspicions about her death. And even more confirmed 2 months later when she received the medical examiner's office box with Debbie's clothing in it.
The hell?
This gets interesting. She examined the clothing that her daughter had been found in when her body was pulled from the pond, and it was very odd for her from the start.
Right.
I'm going to go down a list here. First things first of what she was wearing. She had brown corduroy pants on that were way too big and way too long.
The fuck?
And also were unzipped, which is interesting.
So, like, she was dressed by someone.
Well, and why would you unzip it to take it off of her if they're too big?
Right.
Like,
did
you could
rape kit on her?
So later on they did, and I didn't really put this in here because they basically couldn't confirm or deny if she was sexually assaulted or raped. They said that they collected semen, but I saw nothing on them testing it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, like, being in water makes it very hard to determine that, but jeez.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Her bra cup size was 3 sizes too large.
What the
and the, like, circumference of her ribcage was also 2 sizes too large. So she normally wore a 38 or 34B. She was wearing a 38C bra.
What the fuck?
So it didn't even fit
her. Which is really, it ends up being like a 34 or 36D.
Yeah, it's freaking huge.
What the hell?
She was wearing a set of Nike shoes that were way too big and they were a men's size. She was found wearing men's size 6. She wore a woman's size 7.
So she's wearing shit that's not
hers. She was also found wearing a brand new regulation army field jacket, had no name on it, no, like, association to who it would be, and the jacket had no name tag whatsoever.
So it's like a jacket that came in but hadn't been embroidered yet.
Correct.
Its patches on it. What the fuck?
And she was also wearing a black t-shirt with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the front of it. And Debbie's family and her boyfriend could not identify where the shirt came from because she wasn't a fan.
Right. What the fuck?
And it's Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, we're in North Carolina.
Right. What the fuck?
Very odd.
None of this makes sense at all.
One other odd thing is that her car, Debbie had a specific place that she parked her car.
Mm-hmm.
It was not parked there. It was parked in a very unusual spot. And she was 5'3", may I add. So, about your height, right?
Yeah, I'm 5'3".
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Her car, when they went into it, they found the seat had been pulled all the way back like somebody tall had been driving it.
You know. When you're fun size, you gotta be close to that steering
wheel. You can't. There's no way you could have reached the steering wheel.
Absolutely not.
Nor the pedals.
Right. This is, like, giving me weirdly, like, Tara Grinstead vibes. I don't know why.
Because it is very Tara Grinstead, like, Tara Grinstead vibes. Like, this is truly what it is. Like,
yeah.
If they hadn't have checked that pond when they did, she probably would have never been found.
Right.
Truthfully, because she would have decompose pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would have found, like, skeletal remains eventually, but...
That was about it.
Holy shit.
Yeah. 2 years after her daughter's death, Jenny told the Fayetteville Observer reporter, Pat Reese, in an interview in 1988, that there were so many questions and not even one answer.
Yeah. No fucking kidding. Mm-hmm. My gosh.
Yeah.
Like, literally, the entire case is just one giant question mark.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Investigators are doing nothing to provide them answers. Like, You're fucking telling me, like, oh, it's an accident. She's wearing all this shit that isn't hers. Her, you know, burn barrel is gone, but there was no barrel in the fucking pond. Are you kidding me?
Like, mm-hmm. Like, doesn't add up.
I can't even, like, say that it's negligence. It's literally just, like, not giving a fuck.
Yeah, literally, at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
She also told Reese that she believed that investigators have decided it would be much easier to keep it under the proverbial rug.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's what she thinks. That's what she thinks.
No, I'm saying, like, for them. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you benefiting from that? Like, seriously, to me, it's, like, gotta be just an image thing for the town. Because at that point, it's like, there's that many people that know that they're just not giving a fuck. It's mm-hmm. got to just be that we can't have another one.
Mm-hmm. And she felt that the concrete leads they had been given, the investigators were just ignoring it, which I agree.
Did they, like, try to escalate it to, like, the district attorney or something?
Well, it kind of does get escalated a little bit. It goes to the North Carolina Federal Bureau of Investigation at one point, but they still don't do anything about it. Yeah.
I would love to talk to them and be like, what about this is normal to you?
Mm-hmm.
What fucking makes sense about this?
Mm-hmm. So later on, Captain Watts, I can't even call him Captain Jack Sparrow anymore. He was quoted as saying, nobody's ever 100% certain.
Well, no fucking shit.
This gets weird. He says, evidence showed, and from the information we had, I feel like it was a drowning. I think we were pretty adamant about what we believed. We investigated everybody. This is his words. We done a pretty good investigation.
We done a pretty good job.
We couldn't find any marks on her body, which bullshit, because the autopsy came up saying there
and
was.
What is your explanation of the fucking random ass shit she was wearing?
They have nothing.
That alone is wild.
Mm-hmm. He said it would have been if there was, there would have been marks if it was foul play, and that was consistent with the medical, and they were consistent with what the medical examiner found. I call bullshit because the medical examiner already came out and said that there were marks on her hands.
Right.
So,
and that her cause of death was undetermined. They mm-hmm. didn't see that she drowned.
Mm-mm.
What the fuck? Dude, mm-hmm. and I could, like, I just keep coming back to the clothes. She was a gainfully employed woman. If I could understand if it was someone that was hard on times, you know, was having to go and rely on donated clothing and stuff, but there's no reason to believe that she would have had to do that.
And why would you be wearing clothes that and shoes that are too big for you? If anything, most people wear stuff that's too small because
exactly.
too big is too hard to wear.
Right, exactly. Because it falls off.
Yeah.
It just, it makes no fucking
sense.
It's
really dumb.
Was she cremated or was she buried?
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
I would be so interested if her body got exhumed now with current technology.
Well, yeah, it would be nice, but yeah. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen because her mother did pass away in 2002, so she doesn't have really anyone. Her stepfather has also passed away since then, and so, like, she really doesn't have anyone to kind of chill with her because she also has 4 siblings
mm-hmm.
that have passed away as well, so, like, she doesn't, there's not a whole lot of family or people to fight for her anymore.
Yeah, jeez.
So, Watch said that evidence seemed to indicate that Debbie was playing outside and accidentally fell into the pond, and he's quoted as saying, it was wintertime and there was a little ice around the edges of the pond. That's the reason she had on a big jacket. So, there's
Which,
one problem.
Sure, fine, what the fuck ever.
Like, but that jacket wasn't
answer.
Even hers,
right,
so
exactly.
there's that.
But, and, I mean, to be fair, if she had, and I'm just literally trying to play devil's advocate, even though there's no fucking reason to give them any slack, but like if she had a gentleman friend and it was his coat or something that she was
well she
wearing.
Had a boyfriend but it wasn't his
right
so
but even then they could have like written that off as that
right absolutely
but literally that's like one maybe I'm not even saying it's an answer I just don't even know what else to call it but that's one like explanation and literally only mm-hmm. questions left
agreed
fuck them
He also said there was evidence she had back problems, which may have made it difficult for her to emerge out of the water.
Then what are the drag marks, and how are her dogs inside of the house?
Right. And then when he was asked about her mom, Jenny, he basically said she is bitter, and she will never give up her efforts to prove, right? He said she'll never give up the efforts to prove that her daughter was murdered, because she was, my dude.
And you didn't give her any answers to give her solace and give her peace and resign herself to the possibility that her daughter had simply drowned.
Facts.
Because literally her autopsy did not indicate that she died of drowning.
Mm-mm. It was undetermined.
Fuck. Literally just not even caring.
No.
Whatsoever. I would love to read that entire police report.
If I could find it, not my ear, just one of the sources that I have. Ouch. It's one of the sources around, that like, I
microfiche.
Have. Right?
So long ago.
One of my sources that I have, you can actually listen to the voicemail.
Oh.
It's kind of eerie. I'm not going to lie.
Did they ever interview that fucker?
Yep.
Did you say they did?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm very tired.
No, you're good. They did. and they couldn't get him on anything. It was just like, he had a lot of mental problems, I guess. Yeah. So, like, they kind of had to chalk it up.
He was saying that she was gone for days or something. Maybe just in his mind, it seemed like it was for days.
Truthfully. You know, he wanted her to come to work because he wanted to see her.
Give me a shit that just makes me mad, Courtney.
I'm sorry.
How dare you?
So, Lieutenant Sean Swan, which is a really hard thing to say.
Sean Swan.
A spokesperson for the sheriff's office said that because Wolf's death, which Wolf is her last name, sorry.
Okay.
Debbie's death was determined an accident. The records were purged.
Of course they were. Of fucking course they were. Yep.
And that's literally where the case ends.
Fuck this. Dude, I don't appreciate this.
I don't either, but I needed to talk about it because seriously. She literally has zero fucking justice at this point.
And like, what can be done?
Nothing.
Because they don't fucking have anything to revert back to now because they were like, me.
Purge the records.
It's all fine. Dude, are you fucking kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
I wish, like, I bet there is something out there, but there was, like, something akin to, like, the Innocence Project for, like, deceased people that don't have next of kin to fight for them anymore.
Oh, I bet you there is.
But there's, like, so much legal red tape.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one would have power of attorney over her or, you know, her being.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gosh, that's so frustrating.
It's a very frustrating case. And what's even more frustrating is I did a lot of research on this case.
Yeah.
Could not find a whole lot. Like, well, literally, it was the same information.
It's real hard to make sure that you couldn't.
Oh, absolutely.
How can you fucking look her mother in the eye and say, accidental drowning? Are you kidding me?
When there was a teaspoon of water in her airway.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
All the other things. And even if there wasn't a barrel, which I don't believe that as far as I can fucking throw that damn barrel. The other things. The drag marks. Her dogs being in the house. Mm-hmm. Her wearing this random ass fucking clothes.
Her cars.
Her car being in a weird spot. The burn barrel being gone. Like, seriously?
And one of your officers saying that they saw it and the rest of you saying you didn't?
Right. Because it seems to me that the one officer that's saying that he saw it is the one with the moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of you are conspiring.
Yeah.
Dude, that makes me so mad.
This whole case was, like, horrendously handled. And I was like, I didn't want to do it at first. But then I was like, no, I need to. Because, like, as frustrating as it is and how frustrated we are with it, like, she also doesn't have a voice. Nobody has given her a voice. Her mom fought so hard for her.
Right.
From 1985 to 2002.
Yeah. Yeah.
And didn't get anywhere because nobody wanted to listen.
Right. And we can't let that be in vain. It's just so fucking frustrating because literally, like, nothing can be done at this point.
No.
There has to be something. Like, has to be. But
I just wish the semen specimen had been viable enough for them to do something with. But from what I read, like, it wasn't viable.
But
like,
see, like, if they had kept it, could have been now.
True, but they purged everything, so.
I just wish there's fucking laws against that in place. Like, I know there's some stuff now, but it's just, like, back then.
I just wish, like, every state had, like a warehouse that they could bring evidence to in any case, open or closed.
I'm pretty sure there are places like that.
Well, I just wish every state had it, though.
Yeah.
Because I know not every state does, because that's why they get rid of stuff, you know, after a certain amount of years.
Yeah.
And it really fucks up a lot because, like...
I just wish that someone would have come through that police station and just been like, this just smells wrong, man. And would have dived into it further and gotten some traction on it. Because I know there are some fucking people that knew that it wasn't right.
I'm sure the police officer who actually came up and said, like, no, I saw the barrel, probably didn't have a job after that.
It's absolute bullshit. Gosh, that poor woman.
Yeah.
See? Cases like that just eat at me.
A lot of people speculate that when she was on her way home, she was actually abducted in her vehicle and, like, taken to her own home.
Right. Or, like, at the very least trailed until mm-hmm. she got to her house. Yeah.
The reason why people think it's an abduction is because of her chair in her car and mm-hmm. how far away it looked like a man had been driving it.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was dressed in men's clothing. Mm-hmm.
See, and that's why I think, like, sexual assault.
Had to have. Why else? Especially with her outfit being in the kitchen floor.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that you had mentioned that. Yeah.
Makes me think that she was definitely not...
Right.
It was not a love affair at all.
No. Oh, my gosh, that poor woman.
And she was only 28 years old, dude.
Oh, my gosh. Just a baby.
Just a baby.
Gosh. Man. Just...
Yeah, this whole thing really pissed me off, and I was like, no, you need a voice, because clearly nobody else gave a shit about you.
Right.
Except for your own family, which is horrendous. Yeah, and it's
like,
well,
the people that can't, I'm like, don't get me wrong, like, I know that people can get traction on things, but it's when you're literally just up against a brick wall constantly, and the only people that care are the people that can't fucking do anything about it. It's just so... so frustrating.
And her mom was clearly the squeaky wheel. Like, she didn't shut up about it. So the fact that, like, she was that adamant and still gave a shit.
Almost 2 decades.
Yeah. Is mind-blowing to me.
Because you said she passed away in 2005?
2002.
2002, yeah. Mm-hmm. So still, like,
just shy of two decades. Yeah.
Gosh. That's insane.
I just hope her mom has peace now that she's with her. Like, I hope that there was, like, some sort of peace in that sense. But...
yeah. Well, you actually know what happened at that point, if you believe in, you know, all of that, which I do. Just, ugh.
I know. My heart breaks for her, because that was really shitty police work.
Yeah, that's being kind. Honestly.
Understatement of the year, Courtney.
I mean, thank you for bringing it. It's my own fucking problem that I'm irritated about.
No, actually, I was irritated, too, when I was doing the research, because I was just frustrated that I didn't have a lot. Like I said, this is only 3 pages of research for me, which is very rare. I'm normally, like, 7, 8, 10 pages.
Hey, we're at a normal episode's length.
Yeah, we had a longer intro, but...
not really. It's about the same as we usually are.
Yeah, well, there you go.
We just had a lot to say about it.
Yeah. It's just frustrating, because I couldn't get... anything except for the same information over and over and over again, and it was the same shit about the police epically
but
failing.
But that's the thing, is, like, you getting that information over and over and over again makes, in my opinion, makes it more viable.
Yeah.
And more true. And even then, you brought out the shit that should be known, you know? And that's what's important.
Ugh. It just makes me so mad. Yeah. Ah, it makes me so mad. And when you see the pictures, because I sent you pictures with the sources, like, the... her cabin is like...
I saw when did I was you see Googling.
It? Yeah. Oh, it's like BFE. Like, the pond is very weird, too. Like, I don't know. It was very odd to me when I was looking at it. I was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, it's creepy.
Ugh. Sure. Yeah.
Well, thank you You're for welcome. Telling her story, even though it's some fucking bullshit. And my heart breaks for... whatever happened to her, like, that's just so unsettling.
It was clearly not a, it was not an accident, I don't think.
Yeah, she found her way into a barrel in a pond.
It wasn't natural.
Right. No.
I'm sure.
She would have had signs of drowning.
Yeah.
In her lungs.
I feel like she was probably strangled, because there was probably no way of them to find that evidence.
Right. And yeah, if, like, people use something soft as, like, a ligature, you can't tell.
No, because it won't break the hyoid bone. The only thing that breaks that is usually a hand.
Right. So there's ways that you can get around it not being apparent. Yep. And even then, even if she did have marks, they probably didn't even fucking give a shit.
Even if she'd been hit over the head with a blunt object, they probably couldn't see it. One, because of decomposition. Right. She'd been in the water for... what, about 48 hours, roughly, by the time they pulled her out?
How cold the waters were. I feel like the most that would have happened is, like, her body swelling.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, slippage.
Turns into that weird soapy material, mm-hmm. your skin. It's odd.
Yeah, but I don't think there would have been, like, much decomposition because of how cold the waters were. That's fair. I could be wrong. Anyone that knows, weigh in.
But, stories at the mortuary, if you hear us, come at us.
Yeah, Gary, let us know your thoughts. But, gosh, yeah, that is just infuriating.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed by the time I ended it, and I was really salty about just the information that wasn't out there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't blame you at all, but I'm glad you still brought it.
Me too.
You know, getting out of your own personal opinions on it and realizing it's still important to tell.
Yeah, I feel for people who have cases like this because mm-hmm. they don't get heard. It's always the,
right.
and not dogging on the bigger cases either that do get the voice, right. but like cases like this that have nothing on them, like, come on, somebody step up.
Right.
Somebody right. step up.
And that's what we try to focus on. Yeah. You know, the show is ones that aren't all over the place all the time, mm-hmm. you know, because they deserve just as much of a voice as these other people do.
And if you want to watch it, Unsolved Mysteries did this story.
Is it the Netflix Unsolved Mysteries or the old one?
Old one.
Okay.
Our old school one. I think it was in like 94, 95 they did it. Right. Again, it is the same information because I got a lot of my stuff from them. But they also were like, this is weird.
Right. And that's why it's on Unsolved Mysteries. Unsolved Mysteries doesn't highlight solved cases.
No.
Dicks.
Unsolved Mysteries used to scare the shit out of me as a kid.
Yeah, that intro song.
Dude, that and America's Most Wanted. I hated watching America's Most Wanted. I was petrified to sleep at night. I was like, no, they're going to break into my house. Trying to scare the shit out of me. It's fine.
They really did the most.
They did.
In the 90s.
The 90s, man. Stranger danger. Dare.
Wild West out there.
Scaring the shit out of children.
That was like, really, when they stopped caring about what was on TV and like what was wholesome, they're like, "We're gonna do it all."
They were like, "Ooh, fuck sex, cuss words,
yep,
murder, yes, go."
And now look at TV. Wow.
Well, now look at us.
Fucked up. Yeah, exactly.
What are we obsessed with?
Yep.
Stuff that used to scare the shit out of us.
Yeah. Well, thank you again
bringing that.
It's fucking maddening, but. Like you said, she needs to have her story told. So,
because I don't think they're ever going to do anything on this. I think this case is done.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
Ugh. Yep.
I hope it at least eats at them if they're still alive or, you know, in their afterlife. That
most of them, in fact, all of them, I think, have retired at this point that were involved with the case. And I don't think they're all dead.
Yeah.
I think most of them are still kicking.
Yeah, because it's not like it was that long ago. If they were, like, you know, in their 20s or 30s, they could easily still be alive.
Oh, yeah, because I was in 87. She passed away in 85. Like, that's roughly, what, 37 years?
Yeah.
Wow, I did really good math really fast.
35 years. Or 85. No, you're right. Yeah. You're like 39 years.
37.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy.
Yep.
Well, that's all I have. Sorry. Well,
yeah. If you want to send us any case suggestions, send them to your email. It's easier that way. In the nick of crime podcast at gmail.com. You can also send them to us on our socials. Our socials live in our link tree in the show notes. Click it.
Okay? Or take it.
Courtney thinks she's so funny.
I am funny. And Courtney's going to try to start getting the TikTok back up and running. So we're gonna get into that.
I asked her before we recorded, are you waiting for me to show you? And she's like, yeah, if you could just show me. I was like, I don't do TikTok, so I don't fucking know.
And then I was like, I'll figure it out, but I have to put it on my phone and schedule it because I forget everything. So now I have to literally schedule out my daily life on my phone in order to remember to walk
that's
in a straight line.
My life.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm just losing my mind.
Honestly, it's better to be too organized. That's how I remember things.
You have to remember, my brain is mass chaos. So if I try to organize, it's really hard.
No, but I mean like organization for you. Because you told me the same things about a lot of stuff with work.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I can never change this. And you haven't. It's worked better for you.
Facts.
It's just what works for you specifically. bleh. And if you forget shit, you gotta figure out a way to remember it. Anyways.
Keep it creepy and stay freaky.
And we better fucking see you guys next Tuesday, because I'm pretty good sick again. I'm gonna punch her in the face.
My bad.
So we'll try to see you next Tuesday. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.